Today on Straight Talk Africa, presidential campaigning is already heating up in Uganda, where President Yoweri Museveni has held power for nearly 30 years. Observers say the political playing field favors the ruling National Resistance Movement organization. The major contenders are former Ugandan Prime Minister and NRM Secretary General Amama Mbabazi, and Colonel Dr. Chiza Besigye, retired but certainly not tired, who is making his fourth attempt at the Ugandan State House. In all, there are 8 candidates competing for the highest office in the land. That's coming up next right here on Straight Talk Africa. Hello, welcome to Straight Talk Africa, live from the Voice of America studios here in Washington. It's Wednesday, November 11th. I am Shaka Sali.
And I'm Mariama Diallo, your social media reporter. Hello to all our viewers and listeners on the continent and elsewhere. Thanks for joining us today.
Today, we'll discuss and analyze the significance of the 2016 presidential election in Uganda.
And coming up later in our STA inbox, we'll share your thoughts on this topic through your emails, tweets, and Facebook comments. Hope you'll stay with us.
Thanks, Mariama. But first, Ugandans will go to the polls February 18th. Candidates running in the presidential election officially began their campaigning on Monday. A major international human rights group has called on the government to ensure a level playing field for all. My colleague, Paul Sisko, has more on the story.
Yoweri Museveni has led Ugandans since 1986, after ousting the military regime of General Tito Okello. President Museveni first was elected president in 1996, re-elected in disputed elections in 2001 and 2006, and again in 2011. The government did away with term limits in 2005. If Ugandans return the 71-year-old Museveni to office next February, he'll join President Paul Biya of Cameroon, Zimbabwe's Robert Mugabe, President José dos Santos, Angola, and Equatorial Guinea's Teodoro Obiang as the 5th African leader serving 3 decades or more. Political observers believe the incumbent may be facing his strongest challenge ever. His stiffest competition is coming from long-term rival Kizza Besigye and from former Prime Minister Patrick Amama Mbabazi. Besigye is the nominee from the Forum for Democratic Change Party, the biggest opposition party. He's making his 4th bid for the presidency. Former Prime Minister Mbabazi is challenging for the presidency as an independent.
What makes you think that they are the man? You're completely different.
Let me begin with the corruption. You know, yes, there have been corruptions, allegations.
But you have 30 seconds.
Okay, all these were cleared by all manner of investigations. They were false. Secondly, what I'm proposing is that it is time for change. And I'm offering myself to lead that process of change, the transition from the old generation to the new. And I don't think there is anyone better suited.
Challenger Kizza Besigye appeared on an earlier broadcast.
Well, I must say that, frankly, I'm optimistic about the prospects for democracy in Uganda and even in the wider African region, and this is because I think the citizens are every day becoming more and more empowered with information. The government no longer has the ability or capacity to control all information that goes to citizens.
Uganda's Electoral Commission has urged candidates to conduct peaceful campaigns and comply with the law. In 2011, according to European Union election observers, Museveni exercised his power to such an extent as, quote, to compromise severely the level playing field between the competing candidates, unquote. Again, Kizza Besigye.
And there are 4 main tools. One is fear or terror using the state machinery. The other one is favors using buying of leaders. And the third is monopolizing information by controlling the media and all other outlets that give information to the public. So it's true that the opposition is weakened in all ways when there is a dictatorship like we have in Uganda.
President Museveni was officially endorsed by his ruling NRM party 2 weeks ago.
Unless Ugandans are mad, they can't support Mbabazi, why? Or support Besigye, why? They are just telling lies.
The longtime leader says only he can lead Uganda. He's credited with bringing a degree of political stability after years of turmoil and restoring strong economic growth to the country. Most political observers say President Museveni, as head of the NRM, will win the election. Opposition leaders Besigye and Mbabazi have reportedly discussed fielding a joint candidate to unify opposition against the incumbent, but apparently without agreement. Paul Sisko, VOA News.
Thanks, Paul, for that interesting report. Now joining us here in our Washington studio is our distinguished guest, Morrison Rwakakamba, Special Presidential Assistant, Ugandan President Yoweri Museveni. He is currently a graduate student at Harvard University's Kennedy School of Government in Cambridge, Massachusetts. I have to say, Morrison, that I'm profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled to have the opportunity to host you on Straight Talk Africa for the first time.
Yeah, thank you, Shaka. I'm actually thrilled that I've joined you in the studios, and I look forward to a very fruitful conversation.
I'm very delighted that you had a pleasant flight from Boston to Washington, D.C.
Yeah, it was quite a short flight, but fantastic.
You're most welcome.
Thank you.
And Milton Ali Madi, the man himself, the founder and the publisher of the Black Star News, an investigative online newspaper. He joins us from VOA Studios in New York. Well, it's always a pleasure, of course, having you on Straight Talk Africa, Milton.
Asante sana, Ndugu Shaka. Thank you. It's always my pleasure.
The feeling is mutual. Later in the program, we'll give you, the audience, a chance to call and talk with our guests. The number to call is 202-619-3111. The US country code is 1. Let me come to you immediately, Morrison. You heard what Ugandan President Yoweri Museveni said about some of his formidable opponents. He says that Ugandans will vote for Chiza Besigye and Amama Mbabazi. They must be mad because these guys are telling lies. Your reaction?
Yeah, my reaction is that I think it is best in context, you know, the record of President Museveni and the successive elections that we've had where he has been hugely supported. But also what he says is scientific, because in January we had an independent poll, you know, conducted by a French agency called Ipsos, which also repeated this poll in May. Mm-hmm. And the results were very telling. 67% of Ugandans who were asked whether Uganda is moving on right direction actually said yes, Uganda is moving on the right direction under President Yoweri Museveni. That poll also showed, in terms of weighing the political capabilities, it actually put Dr. Chiza Besigye, mm-hmm, as the second person. And I think Honorable Rebecca Kadaga was number three, mm-hmm, and Honorable John Patrick Amama Mbabazi, the former prime minister, was in the oblivion. Mm. So the real contenders, in my view, to lead Uganda, it is clearly President Yoweri Museveni from the empirical and scientific point of view, mm-hmm, and the other contender is Dr. Besigye. And I think others are really participants. What I see from the scientific
empirical. Of course, there is only one female, Jenny, female. Well, how do you react to that, Milton?
Shaka.
Yes, please.
Those polls are meaningless. The polls that count are the people that come out to vote. And when the candidates were officially nominated, you saw the turnout. Clearly, Dr. Besigye's turnout in terms of supporters was overwhelming and outsized that of General Museveni. The same thing with former Prime Minister Mbabazi's supporters. And in terms of polls, scientific, remember the President of the United States, Barack Obama, when he was a candidate, At one stage, Hillary Clinton was leading him by 50 points. So these polls really are not the true barometer that we should judge them by. We should judge them by the fact that when Dr. Besigye was running for the FD presidency during the primary, the turnout of supporters were massive. And what did they do? They actually provided him with cash. So in Uganda, for the first time, we have candidates being supported by the grassroots. We've never seen that before. On the other hand, the incumbent, in order to encourage turnout during his rallies, he comes with sackfuls of money. The brown bag, that has become a new terminology in Ugandan politics. It's corruption. So in other words, the incumbent needs to bribe the citizens to show up to his rallies. On the other hand, Dr. Besigye is supported financially by the grassroots. And I think that's a very strong statement, and I think we're going to see the outcome in this coming election.
Very interesting. What about some people, Milton, who might say, yes, you may in fact draw huge crowds, but there is nothing, frankly, that suggests that that crowd may, at the end of the day, necessarily translate into votes?
Well, this is my challenge, Shaka. Let's have it proven in a free and fair election. So my challenge to the incumbent, General Museveni, is to, even at this late stage, allow an independent election commission that will determine the outcome of this election. Because that is truly the real test, Shaka. In fact, there's no credible evidence that the president has won any of the elections in which he was announced as the victor. If you go to a game and you're the one who also appoints the referee, Shaka, you and I would win every contest in which we competed as well.
I see.
So that is my challenge. And then the second challenge, Shaka, is he should debate the candidates. In fact, Voice of America, maybe in conjunction with NTV, should send an official invitation to all the candidates. And let's see who accepts and who rejects the invitation for a live debate of the issues.
Your reaction, Morrison.
Yeah, I think my reaction is very clear in a sense that President Museveni won elections since Uganda returned to multi-party democracy. Mm-hmm. All those elections, that's 2001 and 2006 that were contested, the Supreme Court, you know, held that election because it was credible. It was within 95% of the confidence interval and was constitutional because the contest was on the issue called the substantiality test. Was there, you know, irregularities that amounted to an annulling of the election? And what in the wisdom of the Supreme Court justices, they found that it was not there. The only contention, by the way, if you look at the judgment, was on the people who claimed to have been disenfranchised. And 150,000 who were removed from registers by committees. And what the judges found was that that was a systemic problem. It was not sanctioned by the NRM candidate, nor was it sanctioned by the FDC candidate or another participant in that election. So it could not be blamed. And nobody knew those 150 disenfranchised voters where they were going to cast their vote, for whom or for who. Do you see? So it was not very relevant that 150 be used to annul the will of the people, the 8 million people who had, you know, voted in that election. And I think Justice Katureebe made a very interesting point when he said, okay, no, that was Justice Odochi, when he said, okay, even if we go to the 150 supposed voters and gave those votes free of charge to one of the contenders, the second, Dr. Chiza Besigye, would it actually create even a minute dent in the lead, in the gap that the millions of voters that President Museveni had ahead of Dr. Chiza Besigye? And it was not.
I see. Well,
do you see?
Unfortunately, time happens not to be our best ally. Now we'll pause for a short break. And would like to remind you that Straight Talk Africa is now on the social networking website Twitter. And we are tweeting live. Follow us at VOA Shaka, that's VOA Shaka, and join in on today's discussion with your questions and comments. Don't forget to use the hashtag UgandaElection2016. And we are still on Facebook. Just enter the keyword Straight Talk Africa, become a fan, and connect with other friends of the Voice of America. We'll be right back with you, so please, don't go away.
Let's take a quick look at some of next year's Ugandan presidential candidates. President Yoweri Museveni is again the NRM's candidate, or the National Resistance Movement, to run for the 2016 presidency. He was also given another unopposed term as the ruling party's national chairman. He's been in power since 1986. Dr. Kizza Besigye, the main Ugandan opposition leader and the head of the Forum for a Democratic Party, FDC, has lost the last three elections to Museveni. He's been arrested several times, often in a brutal manner, for his involvement in protests over the rising cost of food and fuel. Amama Mbazi is running as an independent under the auspices of Go Forward, or GF, after a last-minute attempt to unite with Dr. Besigye failed. The former ally of Museveni also served as prime minister and a former NRM secretary general. Faith Maureen Walube is running for president under the newly formed African Restoration Party, or ARP. She's a former Museveni advisor and the only female candidate in the presidential race.
I wanted to present music and a side of American culture that is most important to me, that is a part of who I am. They're going to get some incredible performances. That's one of the things I love, bringing these artists in so you can get to see them do what they do. It's soul music, and that's what music is. It's that which comes from the soul.
This is Straight Talk Africa on the Voice of America. What is your opinion about today's topic? Call us at 202-619-3111. U.S. country code 1. When you call, remember the following. Ask only one question. Keep your comment brief and turn down the volume on your radio or television. Now let's return to Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Esther Githui Ewart. And of course, this is Straight Talk Africa, coming to you live from Washington. Let me go to the lifeline of the show, which are the telephone callers. And I gather that we do have a caller from South Africa by the name Suleiman. Good evening, Suleiman. You're most welcome to Straight Talk Africa. Suleiman, can you hear me? I'm afraid I cannot hear Suleiman. Let's go to New York. Milton, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, brother.
Well, you heard, of course, your fellow panelist, Morrison, here, saying that, on the contrary, frankly, all the elections that Museveni has competed in, he has actually been winning them. that, in fact, he has even been cleared by the Ugandan Supreme Court. How do you react to that?
Shaka. Mm-hmm. Shaka, first of all, in 2001 and 2006, the court clearly ruled that there was massive fraud in those elections. I think the judges just did not have the courage to nullify those elections. And I think they probably may be fearful for their personal safety. And that's why I think it's important to have an independent election commission. If a president is so confident that he's so popular, why does he fear having an independent election commission? Number one, if a president thinks he's so confident and so much better than the other opposition candidates, why would he not debate them and let the voters really determine who has the best program? I think this is a chance for Ugandans really to have a fundamental change, which is what General Museveni had proposed 30 years ago when he first came into office. He said he wanted to end the impunity where African leaders overstay their office, their rule and power. But yet what happened? He's been around for 30 years now. He's competing against his own record. I don't think he has any other programs to offer the country. He lambasted African leaders for not being able to produce a needle. And now he wants people to give him another chance because he claims he can move Uganda to the middle income level. Now, if you could not produce a needle in 30 years, how credible really is it that you'll be able to lift Uganda to middle income level?
Very interesting. Morrison, I think you have a point when you talk about the Supreme Court, obviously, you know, voting against the petition. But let's go to 2006 in particular. Yeah. The evidence will show, of course, that the vote was 4-3 against the petition. Yeah. But I have impeccable evidence to suggest, for example, that a one Justice Joseph Mulenga actually was supposed to vote with the other three so that, in fact, the election could have been annulled. This information has also, in fact, been corroborated by another Justice George Kanyihamba himself, who is now retired, but certainly not tired, and to cap it all, a General David Sejusa, who, as you know, is a former coordinator of military intelligence, who actually said Besigye won the 2006 election. But there was a parallel electoral commission manned by the intelligence services. How do you react to that, man?
Yeah, but to say that Mulenga wanted to vote to annul the election is absolute conjecture. And you cannot rely on a competitor because Sejusa is opposed to President Museveni, has been very open about it, and he's using all sorts of, lies in order to create disaffection, you know, against the president. So he's not a credible, informer or a credible informer in this entire process. So you cannot rely on that. And
I told you frankly that Sejusa actually told me this, gave me this information when he was still an active serving officer,
but was that
in the government of General Yoweri Museveni?
Was that information delivered, stamped, and on an official, you know, headed paper? So that is conjecture. He could have been fighting the system from within, and that you cannot take it away. But I wanted to address this issue of the Electoral Commission that my brother Almari continues to talk about. Who should appoint the Electoral Commission? What makes an Electoral Commission independent? The president appoints commissioners who are approved by members of parliament, and members of parliament are legally represented of the people. They are part of the super structure that represents the people. They are the Leviathan, and that's very clear. So, and these members of parliament have rejected some of the appointees of the president before. The president appointed Honorable Kamba for minister, and the members of parliament, the appointments committee, threw him out. Appointed Honorable Mbeza. The members of parliament threw them out. Appointed Honorable Haji Nasser Sebangara for cabinet. And he was
Brother Morrison.
And he was thrown out. The other aspect that we should look at, which was the executive proposal for amendment of Article 60 of the Constitution on the Electoral Commission, was on security of tenure for electoral commissioners to make sure that the president or anybody else cannot dismiss them without a tribunal. And such a tribunal must be, composed, just like in the Judicial Service Commission, in the judiciary. So what are the elements that constitute independence of the Electoral Commission?
Shaka.
And those two elements are clearly codified within Uganda. So I don't know what Armand is talking about. Talking about the debate we have in every district.
This is the 21st century.
We have
can I,
a radio
can I make
station.
A point?
There is access to ferment of
Can
information.
Can I make a point?
6 million Ugandans are on Twitter, on Facebook, debating proposals presented by all these people who are contesting for leadership in the country.
There is
access to ferment of information.
Can you hear me?
I think your point is well made.
Thank you.
Well, what about that, Milton?
I think, obviously, we have struck some nerve with Mr. Morrison. I think the brother, deep in his heart, knows that General Museveni did not win those elections. And that's why he's going around, instead of saying, yes, let's have an independent election commission, he's blaming it on the parliament now. He's saying the president appoints and parliament okayed it. When we know that in Uganda, the parliamentary elections themselves are not free and fair. So how can Parliament authenticate an appointment from the president? The president has his own referee. If Brother Morrison is up to the challenge, and if he's still the presidential advisor, he should advise the president, listen, this is the 21st century. If you really want another 5 years, after 30 years, let's leave no debate. Let's have an independent election commission. Let's have independent observers debate the other opponents and show the whole world that indeed your vision is the best. This is my challenge to Brother Morrison and to his boss, General Museveni. It's a very simple challenge.
What about in a situation where some of those electoral concerns have not actually been met with? And you have a situation, frankly, where somebody will tell you, come February 18th, 2016, you are going to have to go to war with the army that you have, not the one that you wish you had.
Well, Shaka, I think that we still will see some interesting development, because personally, this is my own belief. I think if Dr. Besigye's supporters were brave enough to come out and vote for him when General Museveni's regime was at its strongest, and now when the regime seems to be at its weakest point, number one, I think more of his voters will come out. And then number two, I think Prime Minister Mbabazi's supporters will peel some of the votes away from General Museveni. Obviously, General Museveni still has the trump card, which is the election commission. Because regardless of the outcome of the election, if the election commission says that General Museveni won those elections, then we have a problem. And that's why I'm proposing that we should eliminate that problem by having a truly credible, independent election commission.
Do you agree, as some have suggested, that in Uganda, when it comes to election results, it's not really so much about who comes to vote for you, but in fact, who counts the votes?
Of course, Shaka, sorry, you know that's not true, because in Ugandan levels of leadership, be it parliament or local councils, we have got opposition members. So how come their votes were counted and they are in parliament?
But the presidency, and this presidency is different. This is even the ring fenced.
No, this is the same electoral commission that counts votes at the presidential level. I think it is a defeatist if you lose an election because you are unpopular, because you don't have structures at the grassroots level, and you play to the gallery. And I think the president of FDC, Mutshamuntu, has been very clear on this. He says the problem of FDC is inability to mobilize, is inability to create structures. This is why opposition parties don't even present candidates. They only present candidates in 30% of the constituencies in the country. So how do you expect to win if you cannot field candidates? That means that you are thin on the ground. That means you have no capability to mobilize. And what Armadi is saying is actually objectification of citizens, because if citizens elect their own leaders, elect members of parliament, elect their president, and you think they cannot discern, and you think their choices shouldn't be respected because any members of parliament are a useless gang, I think that's objectification. I think that's lack of respect for the citizens for whom you want to vote.
I have to tell you, frankly, Morrison and Milton, that I am profoundly humbled by the fact that I have the opportunity to be moderating a panel here of two gentlemen who are beneficiaries of Ivy League type of education. The best and the brightest. You're talking about Harvard, you're talking about Columbia. Yeah. But having said that, haven't you heard from some critics suggesting that President Yoweri Museveni suffers from a disease of having a pathological fear of fair competition?
Absolutely not. Yes. Absolutely not. Because if he came not through the ballot because the conditions did not allow that, and the history of Uganda is very clear on that. But he led a consensus that codifies a new agenda in 1995 through a constitution and led Uganda to transition to a full-throat multi-party democracy. And people are competing
are competing at every level, from the local council, from the district. There is actually highest level in terms of democracy and participation and civic consciousness in that country. And if you look at the tenets of democracy, free place, free expression, people are doing that, you know, each and every day. But now, people of Ugandans want hope. If you listen from Babas, if you listen from Besigye, they are talking of defiance, they are talking of belligerence. And President Museveni is busy talking about transforming this country into, you know, a middle-income, into a middle-income country. And he has set up the tenets, he has described how to unbind the binding constraints, and he's very clear on the message. These guys are talking about defiance. They are talking about Tahrir Square. And that's not what Ugandans want.
I think your point is well made. Come back later. And of course, you're tuned into Straight Talk Africa, and we'll have more of a discussion in a moment. But first, here is Mariama Jaro. Take it away, Mariama.
Well, thanks, Shaka. Still to come, we'll reveal some of the fantastic and outstanding feedback we've received from our audience through social media. But now, here is our letter of the week from a Straight Talk Africa Facebook fan who's writing us from, I think it's Liberia. I'm not sure. It's Kampala. Sorry about that.
Tibbs Orikiriza in Kampala, Uganda writes, Uganda is characterized by politicians who use fear to govern and are self-serving and greedy. Opponents to the regime are treated as criminals. People do not want to associate with the opposition because they might be arrested on trumped-up charges. All government institutions are fused with members of the NRM party. Recruitment and promotions are based on the loyalty to the NRM party. Now police officers are participating in partisan politics to catch Museveni's eye.
Like Voice of America on Facebook. Follow VOA on Twitter. Join VOA on our YouTube channel. Like, follow, join VOA.
This is Straight Talk Africa on the Voice of America. Call us now with your questions and comments. The number is 202-619-3111 and the U.S. country code is 1. Call us direct and we'll call you right back. Remember to turn down the volume on your radio or television and keep your comments brief. Now back to Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Esther Githui Ewart, and welcome back. Once again, it's time to bring in my colleague and social media reporter, Mariama. Take it away again, Mariama.
Well, thanks, Shaka. As we've mentioned, a bid by several opposition parties to join forces collapsed. And now, longtime opposition leader Dr. Kizza Besigye will run as the candidate for the Forum for Democratic Change. And former Prime Minister Amama Mbabazi is running as an independent under the auspices of Go Forward. Many other people running for the presidency as well. This will lead us to our question of the week asking, do you think Uganda's political landscape will change if the major opposition candidate unite? Well, I have to tell you, my phone is just going crazy. Lots of tweeting and retweeting, and I think we're going to open with actually some of your Twitter responses. And just a quick reminder before that we are tweeting live today. Just use the hashtag VOA Uganda Election 2016. And if you haven't yet, please do follow us on Twitter. Speaking of it, let's go to a tweet from Kizza Isaac, who writes, the opposition candidates can never unite because of self-greed and power, self-greed for power, rather, and self-centeredness. Let's move on to Otega Esimwede Jr., who says, if the opposition candidates in Uganda unite, they can bring the ruling party to defeat. Africans should realize it now. And last but not least, Joseph writes, an opposition's merger is one of the numerous factors that change the face of the Nigerian election. It's a good place to start. Well, let's now turn to Facebook, where we have a comment from Mohamed Ahmed Mansour in Monrovia, Liberia, who writes, "The formation or coalition of political parties is not the solution to the problem in Uganda. The country needs a mature leader with bright future, not an opportunist. I'd like to urge the opposition leaders in Uganda to recognize their deficiencies. However, opposition in Uganda must be allowed to participate in the democratic process. President Museveni should give others a chance. Uganda is not his personal property. Enough is enough." Well, passions are running high, and it's only November. Shaka and guests, your take on these comments.
Very interesting. What about you, Milton? Go for
yes.
it.
Well, personally, I think the opposition is united. The opposition has a common objective, which is to end 30 years of one-man rule in Uganda. That, to me, is sufficient unity. I think they will peel off enough votes from General Museveni to prevent him from being declared the victor. This does not mean that he will not be declared the victor. I keep going back to that same point, and I hope other Ugandans demand for it. We're in the 21st century. We ought to be allowed to have an independent election commission that determines the true outcome of this election. And this is a very simple challenge. And I hope my brother Morris can advise his boss to accept this challenge and also to debate the other opposition candidates. It's only fair. Let the voters determine by listening to your programs, listening to what plans you still have. And in terms of moving Uganda to middle class income level, I really have my serious doubts, because I believe that if you're not able to produce a needle in 30 years, it's going to be extremely challenging to move this country to middle income level. And Shaka, one other point. In terms of what you said, that the president has a phobia against true challenge, I believe that to be the case. Let's not even look at how the opposition parties are harassed, how Dr. Besigye has been brutally beaten many times and arrested, but let's look at how his former brother and colleague, Amama Mbabazi, was treated. When he announced that he would also be interested in running against the president, what happened? He was ostracized. His supporters, the youth particularly, started getting arrested. Maybe some of them are still even behind bars right now. That, to me, is not the sign of somebody who is confident, Shaka. I think General Museveni has a vision, indeed. But that vision is a tunnel vision. I think he does not imagine a Uganda without General Museveni as president. And that is the problem. No. That's not the lesson we should teach the next generation and younger people, including Mr. Morrison himself. My brother should aspire to one day being president of Uganda.
Now, Milton, you talk about how the opposition is united in the sense that it is, of course, competing against one major political adversary. Are you suggesting, frankly, that the fact that, in fact, there might be a common adversary that translates itself into being united? Are the opposition really speaking with one voice?
They're speaking in one voice in terms that they want one-man rule to end in Uganda. In fact, they've discussed possibly having a government of national unity should they prevail in these elections. In fact, there have been people who have suggested that this government of national unity should have been formed before the elections and then demand to have credible, free and fair elections with an independent election commission. They're going to face a very tough challenge to get an election commission which was appointed by General Museveni to declare that somebody else other than General Museveni won these elections. That's going to be their biggest challenge.
But if you're talking about, a government of national unity, which of course was a suggestion from the Kofi Annan Foundation, a former UN Secretary General, as you know, in London, what about the other requirement that they have to agree on one presidential candidate under the auspices of the Democratic Alliance?
Well, Chaka, that didn't happen, obviously. But that does not nullify the aspirations of the people of Uganda. You've seen the turnout. People obviously were disappointed by the fact that they did not unite behind one candidate. And some people suggested that this may cause apathy. But judging by the turnout, after they were nominated officially as candidates, there does not seem to be apathy at all. In fact, people just seem to be even much more emboldened to exercise their democratic right, which is to vote for their leaders.
Mariama, any more feedback from the audience, please?
Absolutely, Chaka. Let's move on to a posting from Ayiko Bua in Lira, Uganda, who writes, Africa is full of young people, so why are its leaders so old? Whether people vote the incumbents in or out, election results appear to be no different, since the electoral commissions in most countries are partial to the ruling party. Well, another Facebook comment comes from Jesse Saint-Germain of Dar es Salaam in Tanzania, who writes, whether you are Ugandan, Burundian, or Rwandan, elections are just fun to watch. In my native Swahili, we call it Mazinga Ombwe, meaning the magic trick show. In the end, we all know that a rabbit is going to be pulled out of a hat, and that rabbit is Museveni. Chaka. Poetic writer here, nevertheless. He's making his points, and the previous comment talking about the elderly ages of many African leaders, even if there are a few young uns, I have to say there are a few young leaders, but most of them are basically older. So that's a point that this comment was trying to make.
Morrison, why does your boss seem to have this perception?
But you see, that perception you talk about is conjecture. It is not founded on evidence. It is just perception. And I wanted to make this comment about alliances. I need to tell you that President Museveni has been beating and defeating alliances over the years, from 1996, when Dr. Paul Kawanga Semogele stood for presidency. It was under the rubric of certain forms of alliances that involved other opposition groups. In 2000 group, Chiza Besigye, under the rubric of reform agenda, was backed by all those political parties and other alliances. In 2006, all these issues around and IPC, the Inter-Party Cooperation. So President Museveni has, over the years, been defeating alliances. And this particular alliance called TDA was really not going to happen. Even if it happened, President Museveni was going to defeat it. And even now, the evidence is very clear from what you're talking, Chaka. The opposition political parties, the opposition candidates are eating from their own shrinking and small base. Honorable Mamu Mbabazi has taken over DP, the Democratic Party. But the Democratic Party participated in 2011 elections and got only 4%. So perhaps my projection is that as a participant, Honorable Mamu Mbabazi will likely get the DP vote of 4%. He is busy ostracizing, you're using the word ostracizing, Chiza Besigye and his camp. And even when the FDC was focused on issues under the president of FDC, Mugisha Muntu, they launched a program document called Uganda Leap Forward. I did attend that meeting. And some of us Ugandans were happy that the opposition and FDC is shifting from politics of belligerence to politics of issues, to politics of ideas, to politics of region. And what happened? The right wing in the FDC, led by people who believe in street protests, decided to eject out, retired General Mugisha Muntu as a flag bearer. And they are back in Najana and Nkumbi. They took over, and it's back to politics of defiance. It's back to politics of belligerence. And Honorable Mama Mbabazi, if we are talk about, who is guilty of stealing or rigging elections in Uganda? Remember in 2001 when Honorable Mama Mbabazi stood with Garuga, the election petition number 5 of 2001, the judgment was very clear of the High Court and Court of Appeal that Honorable Amama Mbabazi stole that election in Chinchizi West, and that election was annulled. President Museveni's election has never been annulled.
We'll come back to that later. Thanks, Mariama, for bringing us this week's audience reaction.
Well, thank you, Shaka, and thank you to our guests for answering our viewers, listeners, and readers' concerns. This will do it for today's social media segment. Just a reminder that we appreciate all the feedback, whether it's in social media form or using other means to communicate to us. Please keep them coming. If you are a new fan, just drop us a line at africatv@voanews.com. Once again, our email address is africatv@voanews.com. Or post your comment on our Facebook page. Just enter the keywords, Straight Talk Africa. Be sure to visit us online at voaafrica.com, or you can join our YouTube channel. Sign up to VOA TV to Africa and follow us on Twitter at VOA Shaka. A reminder that the show is streaming live every Wednesday. Go to VOA's Straight Talk Africa TV program page on our website, or simply watch us live on your mobile device. Just download the VOA mobile app. Now let's take a look at what's on tap for next week's program.
Next week on Straight Talk Africa, some of the world's brightest young people will gather in Washington, D.C. for this year's World Bank Youth Summit. Their mission is to exchange ideas and enhance their knowledge on action against climate change. We'll have that and more next week right here on Straight Talk Africa.
A reminder that you are tuned into Straight Talk Africa. To participate in our discussion, please call us at 202-619-3111. US country code is 1. We'll continue our discussion in a moment, so please don't go away.
Once again, let's take a look at some of Ugandan's presidential candidates for next year's elections. Abe Gwanika is running to be president for a third time. He vows to rehabilitate homosexuals if elected. Venancius Baria Muriba is a former vice chancellor at Makerere University. If elected, he says he will put the progress of the Ugandan peoples first. Retired Major General Bernard Biraro is running under the banner of the Ugandan Farmers Party. If elected, he promises to increase funding to the farmers. Finally, evangelical pastor Elton Joseph Mabirizi is the founder of the Ambassadors of Christ Church in Namungona. If elected, he promises to combat corruption.
We are able to touch on things that are important to people on an everyday basis. We hope that our viewers are getting inspired when they watch our show. They're getting a view of the world from a different perspective, things that perhaps are not in their immediate vicinity. Today, I could put in on the show something that is a little different, a little unique, and this gives me that inspiration to come to work.
If you liked today's show, please write and tell us what you think or give us some suggestions. Be sure to tell us what station you're tuned into. Our address, Straight Talk Africa, Voice of America, 330 Independence Avenue Southwest, Washington, D.C., 20237, USA. Or send us an email at africatv@voanews.com. Log on to our website at voaafrica.com. Or post your comments on Facebook, keywords Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Esther Githui Ewart. And of course, this is Straight Talk Africa, which is coming to you live from Washington. Now, Milton, you guys have been talking about politicians and, of course, truth deficit. What about a saying that all politicians, really, if you will, and it doesn't really matter where they come from, when they are running for office, they campaign in poetry. They, in fact, promise heaven on earth. But when they win the election, they get to the business of governing, and they do that one in prose. Have you ever seen, frankly, a politician who is a pope?
Actually, Shaka, my apologies. The connection was not that clear. If you could kindly repeat the question, please. My apologies.
What I was trying to say is that you guys have been talking about how politicians suffer perhaps from truth deficit. And I was saying that it is said that when politicians are running for office, They actually campaign in poetry.
Right.
And when it comes to the business of governing, they actually do that one in prose. When you are looking for a job, man, they promise heaven on earth.
Okay, Shaka, let's assume that is true. That even makes it much more imperative that we have presidential term limits. If that is indeed true, we cannot have one person exercising presidential powers for 30 years. In fact, that makes my point even much, much stronger. But in the case of General Museveni, we have damning evidence. His own words, he lambasted other African presidents 30 years ago for being unable to produce a needle. And anybody can go and watch that speech. It's on YouTube. It was a very passionate speech. And when he made it, perhaps he actually believed in what he was saying. But he's had 30 years. Not only has he not produced needles, but Uganda's roads, which were built by past regimes, have deteriorated. The hospital system, which used to be the pride of Africa, has virtually collapsed. We are all familiar with stories of people dying in hospitals because of lack of medication. Shaka, this is not the sign of somebody who has anything left to deliver for Uganda. In fact, if he had any remorse or sense of shame, to be honest with you, he should ask for an apology from the people of Uganda. He should not be seeking another 5 years in term. People say there have been leaders who stayed in office for very long, like Lee Kuan Yew, the late prime minister of Singapore. Yes, indeed. But you can't put Uganda and Singapore on the same, you can't analyze them or put them in the same context. In Singapore, the country was moved from a poor country to a country where the per capita GNP today is more than $50,000. And it's the envy of the Asian countries. That is not the case in Uganda. So what argument, realistically, does General Museveni have left today?
But Milton, frankly, you can't say that this man, however bad you think he may be, he has not been able to accomplish something in the last 30 years that is for the country. I have been to Uganda, and I have seen some roads, for example, the road from Kampala to Fort Potro, the road from, for example, from Kampala to Chisoro. So there are certain things, frankly, that the man has been able to do.
Shaka, we have to take the totality. The regimes before him, in the 1960s, the country was able to build a road network, not one or two isolated roads. The country was able to build an infrastructure, a hospital system. We don't have that today.
Thank you. Thank you very much. How do you respond to that?
Thank you. I think Armadi hasn't been in Uganda for a very long time because he's talking as a person who is extremely, very detached. And I'm happy that you mentioned that we, from east to west, north to south, we have the, you know, the most credible network of roads, you know, surfaced and tarmacked. my father used to travel from Rukunjiri to Kampala, and it would take 2 days. Now it takes 4 hours to run 400 kilometers. Mm. And, you know, to sit wherever Arimadi is sitting and start, you know, bringing out those rehearsed lines. Actually, the kind of statements he has been making are rehearsed lines from opposition in Uganda and have been part of a package of lies that those opposed to President Museveni have been, you know, spreading in order to make their own country look bad instead of attracting investments to the country. This is a country in 1986 which was collecting only 5 billion. Now it is its economy is 50 trillion and it is moving very quickly. It has a health center in every sub-county, in every sub-county, almost 3,000 sub-counties, every health center, people can access services.
I was going to ask you whether... whether that money you're talking about is reflected in the people's stomachs?
This is the point I'm making.
People's neighborhoods?
This is the point I'm making.
But you have a president who actually sent his own daughter to give birth in Germany, so frankly, which is a vote of no confidence in his own health care.
Let me tell you that if you look at the data sets on mortality, on maternal mortality rate, on infant mortality rate, they have gone down extremely. And if you look at the life expectancy, Ugandans are living longer. because they are more healthier, because they are accessing they are accessing healthcare. Ugandans compared to Kenya, compared to Rwanda, compared to all these other countries, are less poorer if you are to look at reduction of poverty. Yes. It's now below 19. It's now below 19%. If you comparatively with other
statistically,
not statistically, realistically, and felt in people's pockets. Why do you think every other 5 years they vote President Museveni? It is because they have the confidence that he's taking them on the right path, on the right direction. We may not, we may not be in Jerusalem yet. Mm. We may not be in Israel yet. But we are on a journey taking us to Jerusalem. If I'm to be biblical, you know, for a while. But I also want.
So is he both? Is he both Moses and Joshua?
He has been talking about this electoral commission. He hasn't told us what constitutes an independent electoral commission. President Jonathan appointed Professor Jenga as the chairperson of the electoral commission in Nigeria. Jenga recently delivered somebody else who won elections and Jonathan lost. Fine. So what constitutes an independent electoral commission? Why is he skirting around it?
Let me ask you, can you answer that question, please? You have 30 seconds. Could you please answer that question? What constitutes an independent electoral commission in your view?
An independent electoral commission cannot be selected by the president himself.
You have 30
Obviously,
seconds.
Obviously, all the opposition parties and civil society must be involved in selecting the independent election commission. And I hope my brother advises his boss to accept it and also to accept a debate. And in terms of the roads in Uganda, just look at the roads in Kampala. We get images every week of people drowning, literally, with water.
Thank you. Overwhelming them
in Kampala.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Let me ask you this question now, Morrison. Let me ask you this question sincerely. Mm. And I want you to talk to me from the deepest, better part of the bottom and the heart of your Lukunjiri heart and soul. Mm. President Museveni has been variously quoted as having said that he is the only person in Uganda who has the vision to think. Do you sincerely believe that he is the only individual in Uganda who can think for the country?
He has a shared vision because the NRM, which he leads, is a structure that involves millions of Ugandans, and they participate in formulating and in executing that vision. A vision is a shared process.
I see.
And President Museveni has been very clear that he works. There's something called NRM methods of work and NRM ideology, which has been derived through conversation, protracted conversation with the people of Uganda under the NRM. So it's not an individual vision.
I see.
Yeah.
Is he the sort of person, frankly, that you would trust and leave your child with? Because there are people who say that he has a lot of inconsistencies. For example, in 2001, he said he needed the last constitutional allowable term to stay in office so that he could accomplish three things: to choose a successor, to professionalize the army, to secure a regional economic market. What happened?
You see, Shaka.
2001. And 2005, you have a political constitutional shifting of the political goalposts.
I fully trust President Museveni. That is why I actually work for him. And working for him means I'm working for people of Uganda because they entrusted him, you know, with that office. And in exercising leadership, it's a process.
Unfortunately, time happens not to be our best ally, Morris. On that note, thanks to our distinguished guests, Maurice Wakakamba, Special Assistant to Ugandan President, Yoweri Museveni, and Milton Alimadi, the founder and publisher of the Black Star News, who joined us from New York. To our affiliate stations, along with our viewers and listeners, we thank you for tuning in. For many of our Voice of America radio affiliates, Learning English is coming up next. And tomorrow morning, it's Daybreak Africa with James Bate. On behalf of the Voice of America, thanks for tuning into Straight Talk Africa. In the meantime, get better, not bitter, Uganda. And please remember to keep the African hopes alive.